Hello, welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics, and on this podcast, we offer expert advice so you can have a fabulous sex life. You can find the complete podcast archive and much more over at pleasuremechanics.com. And we always love hearing from you, so go to pleasuremechanics.com/hello to leave us an anonymous voicemail message or send us an email. And when you are ready to optimize your sex life, go to pleasuremechanics.com/free and sign up for one of our free mini courses to start getting the best of our advice delivered straight to your inbox. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about sexy clothes for men. This was inspired by a question we got asked by one of our listeners. And then we're going to turn the question around to what makes you feel desirable and how can you feel more desired within your long-term relationship. Charlotte's going to get us started by reading the question submitted by a listener. Here we go.
He says, "Hi, Pleasure Mechanics. Firstly, thanks for the great podcast. I've been listening to it for a couple of years now, and it's been really insightful. Thank you. I have a question about feeling sexy and how to show it outwardly. When I look at fashion, I feel that it's easier for a woman to show off her body and feel sexy because of it. They can wear short skirts, low-cut tops, lingerie, makeup, a range of dresses and tops and shoes, high heels, etc. Of course, this does come loaded with social pressures and pandering to the male gaze, but let me put that aside for one moment. On the male side of fashion, I don't feel there's the same kind of seductive clothing available. When I see sexy males, they're either posing topless or in their underwear for a magazine shoot, or they're handsome men wearing suits. Whilst I get that looking handsome can be sexy, it got me wondering, where is the male equivalent of lingerie, of short skirts, revealing dresses? What can I wear that would excite my partner the same way that clothing excites me? Generally, I just want to feel sexy. I already go to the gym and put some effort into how I look. I'm not bulging at the seams with muscles and I'm not wearing designer clothing, but I do make an effort to at least look presentable. I think part of this problem might come from my current relationship. I think my partner would agree that I'm the more tactile of the two of us. I'm nearly always the first to go in to hold hands, hug, kiss. And I initiate sex most of the time and definitely lead on what we do during sex. Outside of the bedroom, I'm always the one to go in for a thigh caress, breast fondle, neck kiss, or just generally feeling her skin. I'd like to have the same kind of attention. I want to feel like they can't wait to rip my clothes off or just need to stop everything and kiss me. And perhaps importantly, I want this to happen outside of the bedroom. I have already communicated this to her, and there's been some progress. I get that there are no easy, quick fixes, so I'm wondering what I can do to keep the momentum going. Thanks for any help you can give."
Okay, so thank you for writing in. We love hearing from you guys. And I feel like there's two questions here. And as I've said before, the real question, the heart of it, sometimes comes at the end of these longer emails. But I think the first question, what are sexy clothing options for men, deserves some discussion, especially after I Googled it. More on that in a second. And the second question is about desirability and how to feel desired in long-term relationships, how to keep that going. So we're going to talk about both of these. Let's start with sexy clothing for men. Next time you're in front of a computer, Google sexy clothes for men. And have yourself a good laugh, because what you find are these, it reminds me of, I think it was called the International Mail Catalog that used to circulate. It's like these neon jock straps and fishnet tops and these like weird kind of bathing suity things with like straps and jock straps. It's just like, it's these kind of funny, weird aesthetics that I don't really know where people wear these things. Like, I've been to a lot of gay clubs even, and I don't see these things circulating.
Maybe they're on the beach in Europe.
I think it is this international male aesthetic, but I don't think most of these costumes would make most men feel very sexy.
Or women desire them.
Right. And this question of what is the male equivalent to lingerie, to low-cut blouses, to shorts, skirts, and high heels is a really good question. And the fact that there isn't an easy answer to this is rooted in our sex-negative history and our misogynist history, where women were desirable based on their beauty and their fertility, and men were desirable based on their wealth and social status, right? And so the reason suits make men feel sexy, and we have this kind of idea that a nice fitting suit makes men sexy, is rooted in classism and the idea that wealth makes men more attractive. And sure, for some women, that is a social signifier that will turn them on. But there's all kinds of sexy men, and there's all kinds of ways men can project sexiness and confidence. And I think what's really important is to find your way.
To find the expression that feels sexy for you.
Right, and that's authentic to who you are as a man.
There are so many archetypes of men, of man, and you are going to feel drawn to a particular expression of manliness. And each style attracts a different woman or a different part of a woman.
So what are some examples of this?
Right, so the traditional archetypes are the powerful, wealthy businessman is one archetype. There's the rustic cowboy,
torn jeans and cute hat and scruffy beard,
cute boots, button downs, you know, whatever. But it's more physical and can do things with their hands, which is also similar, related to, but a little bit different to more of the like fix it mechanic, plumber, construction worker.
Okay, plumbers don't have the sexy archetype.
Well, they're in a lot of porn.
Hi there, I hear your tubes are blocked up.
No, you know what I mean? That kind of...
I think you're thinking of like the construction worker with the tool belt and the hard hat.
Yeah, but they, that ballpark. I don't want to leave anyone out here, you know?
Plumbers are famous for their hairy butt cracks.
Okay, stop.
Okay.
But, you know, the fix-it kind of...
The handyman.
The handyman that can, like, make things work and has grease all over them and that kind of archetype. Then
a newer one is the geek, the sexy geek. And this kind of speaks to the idea that geeks are gaining social power in our culture and can be very wealthy. And it's also a matter of competence. Like, they're competent in a very important part of today's society, which is technology. And some people will be very turned on by the geek aesthetic of crisp button downs and geeky glasses and, you know, a coder's mentality.
It's like, yeah.
And then
like,
there's the athlete. We shouldn't leave the athlete out. And just the physical prowess of the athlete. And it's important to notice, even within athletes, there's a lot of different styles. There's the basketball athlete versus the golfer. And they have two really different personas and lifestyles attached to them. And I think when we're talking about archetypes here, it's really important to notice what feels authentic to you. Because being someone who might be socially attractive, but who you're not really authentically that kind of guy, it's not sexy to be inauthentic and to fake it. So it's really about figuring out who you are, what you're good at, what your lifestyle is all about, and then deepening within that kind of sexy guy. Because different people will find different kinds of guys attractive. So it's not about being attractive to all women. Like, if you're trying to attract a biker babe to jump on the back of your Harley, that's a really different aesthetic and lifestyle and persona than, you know, a really put together lawyer who likes to go to functions wearing, you know, classy suits with a woman in high heels and ready to sip brandy or something. I don't hang out with a lot of lawyers, apparently. But you know what I mean? Like, we all are individuals and we're trying to attract specific kinds of individuals. And being sexy is both about who you are and being really authentic in who you are and confident in your own skin. But it's also about projecting certain social signs, certain social signals to attract the kind of people you want in your bed, in your life, in your family, right?
These are broad sets of characteristics that really require just, are more just sort of guideposts and can be there as inspiration to explore what makes you feel confident and sexy. And one of the good, a useful thing to do is to look around the world and see what kind of men you think are attractive. We're not saying that you necessarily find them attractive, but you think that there's something attractive about them.
Guys you want to be more like.
Yeah.
And that might be celebrities, people on TV, but it also might just be guys that you notice in your local community who seem to have swagger. Like, what is it about them?
That you admire.
Yeah.
Yeah, and notice what could you do to deepen, as Chris was saying, into that a little bit more. Like, it might be kind of beyond where you are now, but it's aspirational. It's something that you'd like to explore taking on or deepening in.
And the question of what makes a man sexy is way bigger in scope than this podcast can handle. And it's a question we're thinking a lot about and bring up some good resources for you all on. So you'll hear more about that. For both men and women, what is sexy? What makes someone sexy? It's a huge, great question and a really important one for us all. But the idea of clothing making you sexy, if we think about female sexy clothing, it's often about featuring certain assets, right? And when you're coaching a woman around dressing sexier, it's all about finding her favorite assets and highlighting them. So if she has beautiful cleavage, she's not going to maybe feel sexy in turtlenecks, right? But if you have a long, beautiful neck, that might highlight that feature. If you have great legs, you wear shorter skirts. If you have a great waist, you wear certain kinds of cuts of dresses. And I don't know, I'm just thinking about like shopping for you, Charlotte. Like, I know your body so well. I'm often the one that finds your best clothing. I'll pick it off the rack and be like, this is going to look fabulous on you. Because I know exactly what kind of cuts feature your best assets and what parts of your body you like to not draw attention to. And it's really about that. Like, how do you use clothing to draw the eye to where you want it? And men can use this same theory. So wearing shirts that show off your arm muscles, if you're really proud of your biceps and you've been hitting the gym and you feel like you've got great arms, like wear t-shirts that are a little slim fitting that highlight your arms. If you like your chest hair, unbutton a button or two. And that is a very specific individual choice of, do you show off your chest hair or not? Some women will find it really attractive, others won't. What do you think? And like, do you want to present that as part of your sexuality or not? Wearing clothes that fit you in general, that fit you well, is always a little bit sexier than just kind of wearing like too baggy clothes because you don't give a shit. And that brings me to the next point, which is clothing is one way we signify self-care. And self-care signifies self-worth, which is sexy, right? So the idea of taking care of yourself, it's not about being skinny as a woman or being buff as a guy, bulging with muscles, as you say. It's about caring enough about yourself that you're taking care of yourself. And this is where things like well-groomed fingernails and nicely brushed teeth and doing something specific once in a while. And like something specific with your hair, like that could be long hair in a man bun for some guys feels sexy. A nice crew cut for other guys feels sexy. But, you know, caring enough that you're paying attention to your own body in whatever way makes sense for you. So that's not a specific prescription for going to the gym and being a certain size. Because some people find chubby guys sexy and that's like hot to them. But maybe like a grease-stained t-shirt doesn't really show that you're putting a lot of effort into how you look. And that says something to potential mates and to people you're in relationship with. And so I also want to turn this conversation around to like being in a relationship and keeping the sexiness up in long-term relationships and to this question of desirability.
Because that's really what the question is about.
But is there anything else to say about sexy clothes for men? So it can be any style.
Yeah, I mean, you might have a nice ass. Wear jeans that fit well there. Mm-hmm. Show it off. Broad shoulders. You know, take a minute, look in the mirror, be like, what do I like about myself?
Yeah.
Where do I look good? And I think taking a little bit of effort with what you look like is not vain. necessarily. Mm. I think that I know that I've really rejected wanting to do that because I didn't want to be vain. But I think there's this middle ground of, as you were saying, this just like taking care of yourself. Just like you would take care of a nice car if you had a car, like that you valued, you'd want to vacuum it out. You'd want to, you know, you need, it's just taking care. And I think that's different than vanity or not caring at all. So,
well, and I've been asked the question more than once, like, why are gay men sexier than straight men? Like, is it a genetic thing
by women? Right?
And of course, you know, I like to think we're the chosen people, but I don't think gay men are sexier because of any special thing with their genes. I think they're sexier because they have to make more of an effort because they're in a sexual marketplace where other men are paying attention to how they look. And the legend, the sex culture has told us that women don't care how men look.
Mm.
And I think we're learning that, yeah, they actually care quite a lot about how men look, how they present themselves, how they take care of themselves. And so straight men are getting cues from gay male culture about how to present themselves as sexy men. And what we also learn from gay male culture is that doesn't look any one way. There are multiple subcultures within gay culture that eroticize different kinds of male bodies, different kinds of lifestyles.
So, different kinds of aesthetics.
Yeah, so the bears really like big, hairy, muscular, chubby guys with big body hair. And there's, you know, the gym rats that really like really well-toned tan bodies. And there's the twinks that really like young, lithe, slender bodies. So it's not about being any one kind of male. It's about being you.
Well.
Being the best you you can be. And that's ultimately what's sexy. And when it comes to clothes and jewelry and adornment, choosing the things that highlight your best assets and project the message you want to project to potential lovers or your current lover.
So your question was, what are sexy male clothing? And our answer is, what are sexy male clothing to you? You have the opportunity to create yourself as somebody that you find sexy. What do you think is hot and sexy and cute on you? And what does that look like? And that is an interesting question, that it's actually not about your lover in part. It's really about what makes you feel best.
And pay attention to how you feel when you put on your clothes. We all have those outfits that we reach for when it's a special occasion or when we want to feel our best. The t-shirt that fits us just right. And then we've got maybe other t-shirts that don't fit us right and we kind of use them on laundry day as our backup t-shirt. Get rid of those. Get more t-shirts that fit you the way that you like to feel. And that's a really good barometer of sexy, is like, do you feel good in them? Do you feel good in that outfit? And when in doubt, ask a friend, or if you have that kind of relationship, ask your lover. Charlotte and I have an ongoing policy in our relationship where we can veto certain items of clothing, and we are not glamorous at home. Like, we spend most of our day home, we work at home, we wear comfortable clothes most of the time. We go out every once in a while, and we can both dress up and clean up really well, but we both have certain outfits. Like, it was just like a random thing where I'm like, no.
Yeah, I had a flannel button-down that I really liked, and you were like, I just can't.
I just can't. I get actively turned off when I see you in that. I had a pair of pajama pants. I wear a lot of pajama pants, but you're like, those pants? No. And we have the kind of relationship where we can say that to one another and laugh about it and accept each other's feedback. But not everyone has that kind of relationship. So you have to have that culture within your relationship before you start telling your lover, like, no, that shirt looks terrible on you. Get rid of it. My sister's husband used to wear a dolphin necklace.
Yeah.
Which is like so 80s and adorable. But when she got together with him 10 plus years ago, she was like, the dolphin necklace has to go. Like, I can't take you seriously as a sexy guy while you're wearing it. Maybe use it as a keychain, maybe, but take it off. And I think being honest about those things can actually help a relationship over time, but you have to do it tactfully and well and within the context of your greater relationship.
And it's really complicated because I think censorship is also a very problematic thing. And anyway, that's far beyond this podcast. But there's an interesting line of like when you just need to back off and people get to have their expression. Okay, but we won't go into that.
Okay, so desirability within a relationship, because that was the second question in this email, and it's a really important one. Again, the scope of this question is bigger than we can handle in this podcast, especially a two-part podcast, but I want to address it with some really simple advice. which is flirt with your partner. No matter how long you've been in a relationship with this person, flirting is a dynamic you have to keep alive. If you think about it, when we're dating, flirting is the way that we open the gates to intimacy. It's a way of communicating, I am interested in you as something more than a friend, right? And it's this whole set of behaviors and strategies that we use to signal sexual interest and gauge how much sexual interest the other person has in us. And it becomes this kind of dynamic, this ball game of I'm going to toss a cue your way and see how you respond. And then you toss something my way. And we kind of have this dialogue of flirtatious behavior over many days, weeks, and months as you're courting your lover into a relationship. When you commit to someone, there's a tremendous sense of relief and commitment because you have a sense of like, this is my person. No matter how life goes, I've got this person by my side. That's an awesome feeling. However, commitment has a negative side in that you start taking one another for granted. And you can really let flirtation die. Instead of sending one another texts that might make one another laugh during the day, that might make one another feel special, your texts become, don't forget to pick up milk on the way home. Instead of really making eye contact over dinner and looking at one another's lips and showing interest that way, you are looking at your toddler with soup all over their face and wondering who's going to wipe it off.
Is this personal, darling?
Not at all. I'm just making up these examples. And instead of affectionate touch, because I think these are the three main categories, right, of flirtatiousness. It's like how we talk to one another, and that includes written communications like texts in today's culture. Like, it's not often letters written by quill.
But that would be awesome.
There's written communication, there's body language, and there's touch. These, I think, are the three main categories of how we flirt with one another. And often in relationships, we kind of hope that we'll have sex every Friday night or something. Like, there's like this expectation of physical intimacy, but there's not the active cultivation of affection and warmth.
And desire.
Yes.
Flirtation can be a part of stoking desire, of creating desire, of expressing desire or interest that then can have the flames fanned from there. It's an invitation to play in a sensual, sexual kind of way.
And so say more about the relationship between feeling desired and expressing desire for your partner. Like, it sounds like our listener, and I think a lot of people have this experience, feels like he's putting a lot of effort into expressing his desire, but isn't getting a lot back. How do we bridge those two?
One way is to make requests, to let her know what are ways that you feel paid attention to, desired, cared for, loved, depending on how deep your relationship is.
I'm going to play devil's advocate. Doesn't asking for specific actions make them kind of clinical and therefore less special?
Only if you hold it that way. It can be. If somebody is doing it, then not because they actually want to, but because they're trying to fulfill what they feel is an obligation, then sure, it can fall flat. But if it's from a place of, oh, I now understand that you really like this, and this is a way that I can make you feel good, and it's something that I'm happy to do, I just didn't know that before, then that's a very different energy and a different place that that kind of touch or flirtation comes from. So it doesn't have to be clinical at all.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. I just wanted to hear you say it. And I also think remembering how you flirted as a couple in the beginning of your relationship is a really useful way to remember what worked for you in the first place. Like, it obviously worked because you're still together. So what were your methods of flirting? Was it a lot of humor? Was it more serious and seductive and sultry? I like alliteration in my flirtation.
You're such a dork. I love it.
But speaking of, like, early in our relationship, I wrote you a lot of emails. We weren't living together for the first few months, at least. And you were working. And so there's a long period of time where I'd write you really loving emails. And I really used a lot of words to kind of seduce you and express care for you.
I liked that.
You did like, and do I do it anymore? Not really. On special occasions, I'll write you love letters.
I ask for love letters on special occasions now.
But recently, in thinking about this episode, I kind of remembered that, and I'm starting to make more of an effort in texts and emails to you to add a few lines that make you feel loved and special and paid attention to and cared for.
Thank you. I like that.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to look at what worked early in your relationship, because that's your specific dynamic that will work again.
Mm.
And also to grow and change with one another and know that, you know, especially new mothers often they feel kind of touched out by their kids. You know, they've been covered in poop and vomit all day. Like, maybe casual touch in the kitchen just isn't the same as it used to be when you were single and, you know, that was really sweet and seductive. So what might work for her more is like running her a bubble bath and giving her a foot massage in this kind of more structured way. Like, the same language of flirtation, touch might work for her, but it might need to evolve with your lifestyle. So the question of how to feel more desired, I think you said a great thing of like, ask for it and ask specifically for the actions that will work for you. Keep doing it yourself, because one person really can change the climate in a relationship. And as you start warming up the relationship, hopefully you'll get more back. And remember the dynamic that you had in the beginning of your relationship and continue to try to use those same methods of flirtation and not take one another for granted and not assume that your partner finds you desirable just because they committed to you, because those are really two different things.
Mm. And in that conversation of sharing what you like, it's also, of course, really important to find out what makes your partner feel desired. And this is partly where the love languages comes in, where we've talked about this in previous podcasts. We just did one very recently where we talked about it a bunch.
Last week in the sexy gift guide, we talked about love languages in terms of giving gifts. And the love languages, again, are touch, quality time, words of affection, acts of service, and
gifts.
Oh, and yeah, physical gifts. And those are five different ways of expressing love, and flirtation is the same way. What are the ways of flirting that feel most authentic to you and that you can receive most deeply?
Yeah, that's important to discover for both of you. It's kind of it can be an exploration kind of conversation, which can sometimes be an easier place to make requests than just out of the blue making requests.
So, of course, there's a lot more to say, both about how to feel sexy, how to be sexy, how to act sexy, and about how to be desired and feel desirable. Huge topics in the field of sexuality, and we'll cover more on future podcasts. So be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever else you get your podcasts. While you're there, we would really love a review or rating. Leaving a 5-star rating on the podcast over at iTunes really helps us out. It goes a long way towards getting other people to find the podcast. So you're doing your part to make the world a sexier, more pleasurable place, which, truth be told, we need right now.
Yeah. So
rating this podcast is a political act. And it's really helps us out in a very tangible way. And come on over to pleasuremechanics.com. Check out our free mini courses at pleasuremechanics.com/free. And our premium online multimedia courses are there to help you master new sexual skills whenever you're ready to level up your love life. Use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off the online course of your choice. We are here for you every step of the way. We love hearing your questions, your stories, your struggles, your successes. And we will be in touch. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics.
Wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.